yours. Good morning, Dr. Hyde, Monk said bleakly. He had known and respected the police surgeon for some time. What can you tell me other than that?
Dead about 2 hours, I would say. Not entirely a medical opinion. Could be longer, except that the warehouse itself was closed until 6, and he hasn't been here all night, so he must have come since then. No way in here except up these stairs.
But at least an hour and a half, Monk pressed him. It was a tight time period, and that should help.
Still warm, Hyde answered. And the first workers got here about an hour ago. Your friend here, he gestured to the policeman, will tell you that none of the men on the warehouse floor came up here. So if it was them, then they're all in on it, lying their heads off. You could try them, of course.
He looked back at the corpse.
Looks plain enough. Bayonet through the chest. Bled to death in a few minutes.
Monk looked around the blood-spattered room.
I didn't say immediately, Hyde snapped. And there are cuts on his hands and arms. In fact, all the fingers on his right hand are broken.
A fight? Monk was hopeful. This man was big, heavy. Whoever fought with him should have a few good bruises as well, possibly more than that.
Not much of one.
Hyde pulled his face into an expression of disgust.
One man armed with a fixed bayonet and the other apparently with nothing.
But his fist was damaged, Monk argued. So at least he got in one pretty good blow.
You don't listen, man. I said his fingers were broken. All of them. And it looks intentional. Not evenly, as they more likely would be if he hit something. Dislocated and broken. Like deliberate mutilation.
Monk said nothing. It was conscious brutality, not the result of hot temper. More like calculated torture. Hyde grunted and looked back again at the corpse.
I'll give you the rifle and bayonet when I've taken it out of him at the morgue. There is more to the wound than just this. There's blood on all those candles over there.
He gestured to several tables and ledges.
And those torn-up bits of paper, but none on his hands. I suppose you noticed that?
Monk had not. But he had noticed that the man's mouth was badly disfigured and covered with blood.
"Is that more than just bruising?" he asked. "A punch in the mouth against his own teeth?"
Hyde bent closer and was silent for several moments.
"No," he said at last.
He swallowed.
"It looks like he's knocked or pulled most of his teeth out. Poor fellow."
"Who is he?" Monk asked. The other man in the room came forward. He was of average height and ordinary build. In fact, there was nothing unusual about him until he spoke. His voice was penetrating, even when quietly used, and his eyes were an extraordinarily clear and piercing blue. He looked at Monk in a way that might have been deferential.
"His name was Imrus Fodor, sir. I knew him only slightly, but we Hungarians are not so many here in this part of London that we are strangers to each other."
He spoke English with barely an accent.
"Thank you."
Monk looked at the man steadily. "How do you come to be here, Mr.?"
"Dobokai, sir. Antal Dobokai. I am a pharmacist. I have a small shop on Mercer Street. I came to deliver a potion to poor Fodor for his feet."
He held up a brown paper bag.
"Do you normally make your own deliveries?"
Monk asked curiously.
"And at this hour of the morning?" "If I am not busy, yes. It is a small..."